Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Robert Saleh will be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And to talk more about that, we bring in Innsworth football coach and ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us now. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I will tell you before we get your opinion, Joe and I are good on this. I like it. I think that the second time around, he's going to have learned from some mistakes. And obviously the Jets, that's a hard job to have. I'm not saying this one is easy, but ultimately I like it. What say you?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. One of the things I was talking with somebody about is that I don't believe that you can look at the Jets situation and say that that's an indicator of future success just because like, no one's done well there. And whether it's been the quarterback situation or whatever it is, it's kind of just been a disaster. So I think in fairness to, you know, anybody, whether you've been in the front office, you've been coaching at the Jets, look, Aaron Rodgers was you know, struggled at the Jets. He goes to the, you know, Pittsburgh and they're, you know, a playoff team. So I think that it's right probably by everybody to say, look, the type of candidate he is and or coach he could be, you know, probably is not indicative of what we saw in New York. Now, you know, I think that I remember, you know, conversation I think we had early on in the process in the offseason in terms of the coach. I think the offensive coordinator hire is going to be a really important one because, you know, you have a, you know, you have a head coach that is a defensive minded head coach. And so like, you know, that's the part that I think is going to be, you know, a big piece to this puzzle.
Okay. So everyone is connecting the Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel dots. I think McDaniel's probably still in play for some head coaching jobs, although maybe not likely, but he's going to be sought after to be an offensive coordinator. Do you think because of his past and relationship with Saleh that would give the Titans an advantage on that?
I mean, you know, sometimes we connect dots and when you do that, you think like, okay, yeah, like this is going to, these guys were, you know, here together. Well, sometimes coaches hate each other. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I guess the part I would say is like, assuming they have a good relationship and like each other, then yeah, I think that, you know, anytime you work with somebody, if you had a positive experience with them, then for sure. You know, I think unless, you know, the guys have, you know, spoken publicly or you truly know what the relationship is, you know, then I don't know that, you know, then I don't know that, you know, just because they were, you know, one spot together that it would work out. Now I would say this would be my, you know, outsider looking in on it. Clearly Kyle Shanahan thinks a lot of Robert Saleh. It's why he brought him back, right? It's why he hired him in the first place, why he brought him back. I do also know that, look, Kyle Shanahan thinks highly of Mike McDaniel. So, yeah, you would, you know, you start to collect or connect dots like that, then I would think that, yeah, that's a possibility. Now, if you have an opportunity to maybe go somewhere else that's maybe as attractive if you're Mike McDaniel, maybe even more, you know, then, yeah, there could be some competition.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. How important is it for Robert Saleh to not necessarily ask Cam Ward, hey, who do you want as your offensive coordinator, but get to know Cam enough in a short amount of time to then maybe gauge the candidates that are out there that will fit Cam Ward?
You know, I think that I think here's what I would say. I thought the Ravens owner, Steve Bisciotti, had a really, I thought his comments about Lamar's input in terms of the next head coach, I thought they were good. Like they were like, yeah, you want to talk to the guy and you want to like, you want to be there in some meetings? Like, great, I'll have you there. At the same time, like, I'm making this decision, right? Like, it was kind of like, you're a player and I'm the owner. And so I think a similar thing when you look at this, where I think it's good to see an interaction, see if guys, you know, hit it off, see if there's a past relationship in terms of, you know, when Cam went through the process, when he was being evaluated to come out for the draft. You know, all of those different things, I think you could, I don't know, I'd be open to, like, at least observing them or, you know, having a meet. But at the same time, like, it's a very unproven player. Like, he should not have any say in terms of who the next offensive coordinator is.
Well said. Tim Hasselbeck with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Look, you have me laughing because when you said the comment about sometimes coaches don't like each other, I mean, one of my greatest things I ever saw in college was two college coaches fighting each other. It's usually on the goal line scrimmage, right? And you get the offensive coach fighting the defensive coach. That's a fantastic moment. So I love the fact that you brought that up, Tim.
I'm not sure Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride exchanged Christmas cards. Yeah, right. So they're like, oh, you guys were in Houston together. Like, yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we see it all the time. I mean, it's especially the collegiate level. High school, not so much, but I'm sure you saw coaches at Boston College who didn't get along and were great coaches.
Well, I can tell you guys that I've talked to, and continue to talk to guys that are, you know, friends of mine that are in coaching. You know, usually when I talk to them, like, you know, they gripe about their season or whatever, and usually they end up just completely trashing some coach that's on their staff that's driving them crazy. So, I mean, just because you're not on the same staff as somebody doesn't mean that you always think that guy's doing a good job.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this. Do you think Robert Saleh is Mike Vrabel 2.0 for the Tennessee Titans?
Meaning like just, hey, second time around and you have some success?
Well, hard ass.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think that he is, his way of coaching, I think there's an intensity to it. I think there's just, I mean, you look at the defenses that he's coached, I mean, how they play. I think good coaches generally, you can see the identity, you know, kind of their personality in the identity of the team. So I think that there is, you know, a tough, hard-nosed mentality that you're going to see from him. Now, I also believe that he is going to hire an offensive coordinator and completely hand it over to that person.
Yeah, so, as he should, right?
Yeah, and that's not a negative. That is what most coaches do. You know, Andy Reid turns the defense over to Steve Spagnuolo. And so he's going to do that. So the personality of that coach, how long that coach is there, the assistants that he puts on the staff, I think can have almost as strong of a influence on the personality of your team.
Right, and thank you again for bringing up every detractor about this hire is like, well, at the Jets, he was 20-36. Tim, you know the NFL better than anybody that we know. You know the Jets organization. It's a disaster. So I tell people, don't use that against Robert Saleh because his hands were tied in New York City.
Look, Sam Darnold, who, you know, is playing in the NFC Championship game, has won, you know, 28 regular season games in 2 years. Who, you know, they had drafted and wanted to make it work out and all that. Like, it didn't work, right? Didn't work with, you know, Aaron Rodgers. It didn't work with Robert Saleh. It didn't work with, it hasn't worked with Aaron Glenn. So they were obviously, like, Joe Douglas, who is, you know, was their GM for a while, has a very good reputation. Like, didn't work with him. There are a lot of issues there, and I don't know what they all are, but when nobody has had success there, I think it's probably not necessarily fair to say, like, oh, that guy didn't win there. Like, why would Aaron Rodgers have a better year somewhere else than he did in New York? Probably because the structure of the organization in general is better in Pittsburgh than it is in New York.
Are you surprised that he got the job and it wasn't Nagy?
I'm surprised, and maybe things were, you know, maybe we were getting the news 2 days later, you know, because that's some of what you don't know. But, like, Sean McDermott, like, if I had a head coach opening And I hired a coach before I had the opportunity to talk to Sean McDermott. Maybe unless you're getting Harbaugh, I would feel like, I wish I had the opportunity to talk to that coach.
That's a fair one.
Yes.
That is a fair one. Where do you think this thing goes with Sean McDermott?
And assuming he wants to get right back in it, I mean, he would be the guy that I want. And I guess the way that I'm kind of hearing it, it feels like he wants to get right back in it. Maybe Tomlin will take a year off and do TV. If that's the case, I think the best candidate is Sean McDermott. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you can talk about the disappointments in terms of, you know, lack of success in the postseason, but look, they had the ball bounce, you know, kind of, you know, not bounce their way a few times, like, you know, up against Mahomes in the playoffs and some absurd stuff happening. This last one, you know, with a team that quite frankly is like just an okay team with a great quarterback. You know, when you think about what he had done in the 9 years as the head coach, it wasn't all with Josh Allen as a starting quarterback. They basically were manufacturing wins as they were fighting through different quarterbacks there in Buffalo. And so he's a really good football coach, So, yeah, anybody that's got an opening, I think, would try to maybe slow play what they have going on in order to talk to him.
Well, I the Tomlin thing is interesting. If he wants to TV, that's fine. But a really good friend of mine does Sunday nights on ESPN with Scott Van Pelt. I wouldn't be happy if Tomlin moved into that position. I'd have a word or two with Mike about that.
Hey. They might have to pay that position a little differently to get Tomlin.
Right.
Well, so we have, Tim, we're on YouTube and everything too. And our title says Chase and Big Joe Show, Titans hire Robert Saleh and Tim Hasselbeck. So people are thinking that
you have
been hired by the Titans because of our title. So we're sorry about that.
Is there am I getting a raise for that? Now that we're on the topic of money.
I will call Amy Adams Strunk, and I will see if we can make that happen. Hey, you know, you as the offensive coordinator wouldn't be a bad thing.
I mean, well, let's we might be a little premature on that one, but I think he might prefer Mike McDaniel to me.
Okay.
Well, all I got to say, if you do get that OC job, we never punt. We never punt. We always go for it. Always.
Okay. That's a little bit like our ESPN analytics. I feel like every time they pull those up, it's like, go for it. I'm like, really? Like, we lost yards the last two or three plays.
Right.
Do we want to?
It's like, 4th and 12 from the 2. We're going for it.
I'm sure there's some math in there that makes sense, but, man, that makes me feel uneasy.
We will have more with Tim Hasselbeck, including the playoffs, coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So the championship games are set. It is going to be the Patriots taking on the Broncos, the Seahawks taking on the Rams. But I want to start with the Broncos. Jarrett Stidham now gets his number called. And he will be the starter for the Broncos. Bo Nix hurts his ankle. He is out for the remainder of the season. I hate this because this was setting up to be 1-2 and a great game, and Bo Nix has had a tremendous season. But that's football, and unfortunately for him, this is how it ends.
Yeah, it's awful for Bo Nix. I think he's been a better player than maybe he's even gotten credit for being. And you just look at his production in terms of just scoring touchdowns, both, you know, running and passing, you know, his rookie season, then what he's done this season. So, and, you know, I think he's kind of streaky, but he's the kind of guy that kind of when he gets hot, like he plays at a really high level. And I think Sean Payton's done an incredible job with him. I think Stidham's a good player. I think Stidham can play well. The hard part for me with Stidham ends up being that, like, you get thrown right to it. Hadn't played football in a long time, just even in this season alone. And now all of a sudden, you know, you get thrown into this crazy environment. So that, I think, is hard versus, hey, you know, this is your third game as the starter, stuff like that. Now, it's easier than it happening, you know, on the first series. but I would expect like just the speed of the game to be something that's difficult to deal with for somebody that hasn't played meaningful offensive snaps this season and even going back to last season. So that to me ends up being the challenge. It is one game. It's a really good defense. Drake Mays put the ball on the ground a bunch, you know, the last few weeks. And so I do think it gives Denver a chance. But ultimately, I kind of feel like it's going to be too much to overcome.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that. I mean, the Patriots look pretty good, but like you said, Drake May has got to take care of the football. That was something that Vrabel, you know, said both during the game and after the game. So what are those conversations like between Josh McDaniels and Drake May and Mike Vrabel and Drake May this week about trying to just take care of the football?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that, like, you know, a head coach or a coordinator will talk to the quarterback on any given week, and depending on the matchup, you know, they will communicate how, you know, you anticipate the game going. So, like, if you know you're playing backup tackles and it's going to be hard to block them, you know, the message will be delivered, hey, look, we need to play with a little bit more urgent clock in our head in the passing game so we're not taking sacks. So, you know, you may say, look, we're playing a guy, we think it'll create struggles for them on offense, so not giving them a short field will be an important factor for us. So being smart with the football, you know, in certain areas of the field, more so than usual, is going to be an important piece of this game. So those are the conversations that I think are had. You know, May knows that he needs to play better. He said as much in his post-game press conferences. I do think he's one of those players, as a young player, that has gotten himself in situations where he hasn't always played in a way that the score should dictate, meaning whether you're up or whether you're down, like that can impact how aggressive you are with the football. And I think that's one of the areas of growth you can see in his game.
Love it. Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Flipping over to the NFC, Zach Charbonnet's out for the Seahawks on Sunday. How much does that hurt that offense, Tim?
Yeah, it's a big deal. He's been their best running back, you know, which is a little unique because, you know, Kenneth Walker is the higher drafted guy and all that stuff. But now Kenneth Walker's had success, you know, against the Niners this season. So I think it's a big deal. Do I think it, you know, ultimately ends them? I don't. You know, the story really is how good Seattle's defense is. And then the fact that they get to play the game at home, that's a big deal. And look, the Niners are really depleted. So the Rams are, you know, a team that is like has their own issues. So when I look at the Rams and I think of a divisional matchup and all that stuff, I think what it would take to beat Seattle in Seattle with their, you know, with their defense, you know, kind of getting last week confused in terms of, you know, how depleted that Rams team and what it looked like. Niners team and what that looked like. That was 9 points in 8 quarters, you know, from a Kyle Shanahan offense. Like, that's not good. Like, just give you a sense of how good the Seattle defense is. But I think what it will take to beat them is somebody like Stafford, who's seen it all, who's able to, you know, beat things because he's kind of better pre-snap and can make all the throws and all of that stuff. I guess I just would say, you know, I think he gives them a chance, you know, because of that.
I love, and this Rams team, they go on the road to Carolina, win, and, you know, at the last minute, they beat Chicago in overtime. It's almost like this team is Teflon. Like, nothing is sticking to this team. They know the job. They know the assignment. They know nobody believes in them, and they get the job done. That was an amazing game, watching that game on Sunday night. And I Stafford is so good, Tim, and you know this.
Yeah, I think that's the key. He's the equalizer, and, you know, I mean, he's played at an MVP level. They obviously have receivers that are a problem. You know, when you think about Nacua after the catch is outstanding, Davante Adams still does his stuff, they're running the football, and I think defensively they're really good. So I think it's a well-coached, talented team who has an elite quarterback that no matter the situation, everyone feels like, you know, they're still in the mix. And that's why I think, like, in order to go into Seattle, deal with all that noise, all the things you have to deal with playing on the road in the postseason, play an incredibly talented, defense. Like, in order to win, I think you need some of those things to kind of go in your favor. And then I would say this, look, when you look at Sam Darnold, I think he's got 6 interceptions in the 2 games this season against the Rams.
Wow.
And every interception is going to have its own story, but it just doesn't feel good for a quarterback to have that be the case going into your third matchup against the team.
Before I let you go, your thoughts on Fernando Mendoza from last night. I mean, that run in the fourth quarter will be shown for generations. That was just unbelievable. He's going to go number one to the Raiders probably. I mean, Mark Davis sitting there staring him down in the end zone last night before the game. How do you think he transitions, Tim, to the NFL level?
I think it's clear he's smart. It's clear that he's accurate and a good decision maker, and it's clear he's tough. So I think there's a lot to like about him. I was really impressed with the athleticism of the touchdown run that he had. So he's going to be he'll be an impressive prospect. There's no question about that in terms of, and I think the draft process will be favorable to him. The most impressive thing he did last night, I thought, was Indiana couldn't block those guys up front, and it was tough sledding. And so, that can force you into bad decisions as a quarterback, and it didn't. I thought the way that he fought through it all was really impressive. So it will probably be shocking to me if he's, not one of the first 3 picks.
Has little Timmy Hasselbeck ever have a run like that in junior pro?
Never. No, I don't think I ever had a run. He broke like 3 tackles.
Right.
Then, diving forward like that.
That was awesome.
Listen, that's against a really good defense. So he's a good. I knew he was a good passer and he's tough. That was impressive.
Timmy, appreciate it as always. Good stuff. And we look forward to the next few weeks watching Robert Saleh build his coaching staff.
Yep, we'll be interested. Did we just add an MY to my name, by the way? I think we did.
I did call you Timmy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I did. Junior pro Timmy. Right.
That was little Timmy. Thank you, Tim.
See you, fellas.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the pro. I didn't even realize I did that.
He's going to block the number now.
He's like, I'm done with these guys. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the program, as he always does, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, real quick, Indiana breaking news. Indiana backup quarterback Alberto Mendoza, Fernando's brother, is entering the NCAA transfer portal immediately, sources tell ESPN. Now, though, Indiana had signed Josh Hoover, ESPN's number 6 ranked transfer quarterback from TCU, to take over. So he was probably going to start so Fernando can leave. Alberto can leave. He's got 3 years left of eligibility. And programs Georgia Tech, Duke, and Stanford are all looking for quarterbacks.
Did I see that Tennessee hired the strength coach from Indiana?
They hired – is that where he's from? The highest paid strength coach ever.
Yeah, he was their strength. He won the championship last night, and Tennessee got him.
Good. Get paid, man.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into Robert Saleh and him coming to the Titans next. But right now, give me a caller. Caller number three for Dale Earnhardt at 615-737-1025. We'll win a pair of tickets to the Pro Wrestling Symphony at Eastside Bowl on Sunday, February 1st. Nashville history will be made as the crowning of the first Pro Wrestling Symphony champion will happen on February 1st. Will it be Colby Carter, Adrian Thomas, Tim Bosby, or the Iron Demon, Shane Mercer? Plus, WWE Women's ID Champion Lainey Luck will be there as well. So check that out, February 1st, coming up at Eastside Bowl. 615-737-1025, and you can win tickets. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 1025 The Game.